This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Turn that off, Chris. It's the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Doing something a little different today because of that long talk we had in the first hour. I thought maybe if you didn't listen to me, you would be much more likely to listen to the expert on it who's forgotten more than I'll ever know about the cartels and how things work down there. Our friend Cartel Chronicles, Brandon Darby, joins us now. Okay, Brandon, I'm just going to kind of hand the show to you here, but just to catch you up on my axes to grind, I have no issue with the Trump administration going after the cartels and fentanyl and all that other stuff. I'm not going to speak for you. I have no issue with that. My issue is I see a lot of chatter on the right, on radio, TV. I see it on social media. Of people acting like this is a quick, easy drone strike. We'll train up a couple Mexican units. They'll go and we'll, quote, take out their leaders. And then everything will just be hunky-dory. Would you please talk to everyone, please?
Yeah, everything's not going to be hunky-dory at all. It's going to be ugly and nasty, and it's going to go on for a long time. We're going to take out the heads of organizations, and they're going to splinter into numerous factions. All vying for power over the entire organization, and they're going to fight, and it's going to be violent. It's going to be violence like we've probably never seen in Mexico, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to get ugly. But that said, treating transnational criminal organizations right at our border like the threat that they are is important. It is necessary. So what was happening before was a turn the other cheek, look the other way. And Mexico, they say, no pasa nada. You know, nothing's happening here. It's okay. Nothing's happening. And that's what the U.S. government was participating in. And that's not what the U.S. government is doing now in a Trump administration.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just want to make sure I repeat again for everybody, I am supportive of these efforts. My concern is the American people think this is going to be a Sicario movie when it could very well more resemble Afghanistan or Vietnam than a Sicario movie because of how, look, you've educated us how many times, Brandon, about how ingrained they are in their communities and their states, which they control half of.
Yeah, so roughly, 32 states, 31 plus the federal district, which is now a state, so imagine that D.C. became its own state, kind of, so say 32 states. Over half of Mexico is under control of these transnational criminal groups. That means the government on all levels either works for them or turns the other cheek or turns a blind eye to some of them. Even the famed Mexican Navy, the Marines, are currently protecting, the most wanted man in Mexico, El Mincho from CJNG, a cartel in Jalisco, and he's untouchable. So the U.S. government cannot do anything about him because he has a friendship with their current Secretary of Defense, right? So that's how bad it is. It is a fragile state. It's not a failing state, but it's a fragile state, which is pretty close. And things are going to get ugly. Now, what we're doing as a country, like when you start hearing reports of CIA drones, CIA reconnaissance flights, we know what the CIA can do. And so what I think is going to start happening is when Mexico is protecting a bad guy who is involved in the killing of tens of thousands of Americans, each year, I think that we're going to start probably engaging in extraordinary rendition and getting them.
Again, I'm speaking with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Brandon, can you give us just a little brief recap on Calderon and his little war with the cartels and how that worked out?
Yeah, it did work out good. You had over 100,000 deaths, depending on the estimates. I think the best estimates come out of a very liberal, but professor and department in New Mexico, But, you know, well over 100,000 deaths in a short period of time. It got very ugly and very violent. There are a lot of mass graves still being found. But, you know, a lot of what is going to happen, you know, people really aren't prepared for it. I'm actually writing something about it now, but no one else could possibly write it. So I'm not afraid to talk about it before I publish it. I'll talk about it here first. The steps that we're about to see, we're already starting to see, is one, we're starting to see the cartels be very adept at using media. Now you have Los Zetas, you know, CDN, they call it Cartel of the Northeast, but it's really Los Zetas. And you have them putting out press releases saying, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, this isn't our violence. Prior to that, we had the Gulf Cartel, we put out a report and the Gulf Cartel would hang a banner from an overpass saying, hey, this is fake news from the United States. These gringos, we're not terrorists like these gringos say. They're talking about us, right? It's kind of scary when you're the one who wrote the story and they cheat. It's called cheating you. But now they're starting to put out press releases. And what we're going to see is we're going to see them start to train an army of social media warriors to defend them, right? Like a rapid response. So every time we publish a story about something they did, they're going to say they didn't do it, and they're going to attack us and say we're fake news. And you know, so we're going to see this social media war with bots and people who are employed by various cartels. We're going to see more press releases and them saying we didn't do this. We're going to see them, you know, badjacketing people, other groups. We're going to see them committing acts of violence in one area, so it's attributed to their enemy, so their enemy is more of a target for the U.S. than they are. We're going to see some really crazy, crazy things, and it's going to get really ugly.
Brandon, do you have any concern? I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, so I really want the nitty gritty on this. Do you have concern that this can get to a place where they can hurt us here? I know they have the capability of hurting us here. I'm not naive. Everyone knows that. But that's something they've shied away from for obvious reasons. But if we go gloves off, are you ever concerned they will do the same here?
Yeah, but I think what a lot of people have to realize is they are us. And I'm not smoking something or hugging trees. Don't worry, guys. It's not like that. But many of the bosses, right, in the cartels along our border are actually U.S. citizens and who go there and, you know, wreak havoc and then come back home. So, you know, recent stash houses in border states were being run by U.S. citizens, you know, Texas residents, right? People who are Texans. And so it isn't like they're there and we're here. Many of them are here too, right? Their people are here. The street gangs that plague our nation are, many of them have alliances with these guys. The prison gangs, right, have alliances with these guys. Strangely enough, the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas has a strong alliance with factions of the Gulf Cartel, you know, and this is, you know, these people are here. I think ultimately, you know, they will cower at U.S. power. I don't think they've seen the type of power that the United States government can deliver when they want to. But this notion that they're helpless and that they're not going to do all number of things to fight back is a new day. When we started Cartel Chronicles at Breitbart, Texas, no one had ever done that. So we didn't know what they were going to do, right? We didn't know if we were in danger or if they would be like, hey, leave these guys alone. They're well-connected. They're, you know, they have a platform. We can't kill them like we normally do other journalists. We didn't know what they were going to do. And it took a couple of years for that to kind of work itself out to where we realized they're probably not going to hurt us here, right? And we're kind of entering that same ballpark, you know, are they going to start coming after the people who write about them the most? Because there's a direct correlation historically, and there will be again. If Breitbart writes about one particular cartel boss nonstop for a month, then the U.S. government considering they're all led by Breitbart readers, is probably going to prioritize that cartel boss, right? And, you know, are they going to, how are they going to react to that? You know, are they going to do what they can to stay below the radar? And are they going to tone down the violence so they're not the target? Or are they going to ramp it up? I don't know. You know, we're depending on a bunch of cocaine-fueled sociopaths to think logically. And I'm not sure that many of them will at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably asking a lot to follow, have them follow our train of logic. Brandon Darby, if you are not reading all his stuff at Breitbart, you are behind and crazy. Everyone who reads him knows what I was talking about earlier in the show. Thank you, as always, my brother. I appreciate it very much. We needed that education.
Thank you.
There you have it. Let's move on and do some other stuff. Hang on.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm having so much fun tonight. All this cartel talk and wild stuff. I don't know why. I just kind of went a crazy place on a Tuesday. Remember, if you want, you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In fact, we'll get to some of those emails here now. Jesse, big hands. My dad and I are both huge fans of yours, and I often listen to you together. And often listen to you together while we work side by side on home projects or while fishing. That's so cool. He's 74 and has an identical twin that is his polar opposite. Could you please crack my dad up by just once saying commie Uncle Don instead of liberal Aunt Peggy? It would make him pee his pants both figuratively and maybe even literally. Commie Uncle Don. Everybody's got one. Look, everybody has one in their family. Just if you have one in your family, you know, I have one in mine. In fact, I think there's only one. The one I can think of, but I have one in mine. My poor wife has one in hers, and it's crazy because most of her family is not really necessarily political. The ones who are pretty much on the right, but there's always one who has to publicly announce that she's not coming to the Christmas party, and she's, I can't do it with the election. I have to renew my anxiety medication. There's every family has one, and sometimes I struggle with the nature versus nurture argument of how you come out as a communist, because sometimes it's inexplicable. You just heard a couple hardcore anti-commies go fishing, listening to the show. Dude has an identical twin brother, commie Uncle Don. It's just a nutball. I don't know how that works. What, Chris? Chris said, did he marry a communist? Well, Chris is learning. There are two ways that I consistently see people converted depending on the sexes. And you've heard me say this before. It's true. I have been doing this a while. Politics, I mean. I've been doing radio for 6 years. Thousands and thousands of emails and voicemails. Young girls turn communist when you send them to college. Oh, not my daughter. Yep, probably your daughter too. Young women turn communist when you send them to college. Young men turn communist when they marry one. It has happened so many freaking times. It's amazing how often it happens. Dudes marry a communist and she just breaks them down. I don't know. And then they end up like Dana Bash on CNN, who's desperate to tie a plane crash in Toronto, Canada to Donald Trump. Oh, keep in mind, I should let you know, I didn't talk about yesterday's plane crash. I didn't talk about the plane crash in Philadelphia. For the same reason I don't do mass shooting radio, I don't do plane crash radio. This is not a news show. If there's major, major breaking news that affects you, obviously I'm going to play it here on the show. Some kind of attack or assassination or something like that. I don't do mass shooting radio. This is opinion talk radio where we screw off and have opinions about things and talk about history. This is only funny.
It's Journalist Jesse.
Because it's not true. I'm not a journalist. If you're looking for journalism, you've come to the wrong place. And if you're looking for it in CNN, you've come to the wrong place there.
As he said, there's no thread between all of those except the obvious, which is that planes are crashing, which is frightening. But this is happening against the backdrop of massive cuts across the federal government, including at the FAA. Just going to put some up on the screen. Hundreds of FAA employees have been laid off as part of Elon Musk going through all the federal agencies. And then beyond the FAA, we have 10% of the CDC workforce, 3,400 at the U.S. Forest Service, 2,200 at the Interior Department, 2,000 at the Department of Energy.
Plane crashes, goes upside down in Toronto, Canada, and Dana Bash tries to find a way to make a Canadian plane crash about Donald Trump. Why is she doing that? Because Dana Bash is a religious zealot. And as we've talked about before, if the Aztecs, when they grab that prisoner of war and they take him up to the top of the temple and they lay him down on the stone after they strip him naked and they take an obsidian knife and they stab it into his chest and they carve his heart out and then chop off his arms and legs and they throw it all down the steps of the pyramid because it's supposed to make the god of whatever, god of rain, make it rain so the crops can grow, and then the crops don't grow. The Aztecs never go back to the drawing board and say, wow, maybe what we believe isn't true. Instead, every single thing, whether it rains or doesn't rain, just turns into further affirmation of their sick demonic religion. Communism is the exact same way. It was not, look, it's not a one-off. You probably heard it all day. Here was NBC.
This is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing. Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower, and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a part of President Trump's effort to trim down the federal workforce. And yet, as you also know, the FAA has been complaining for years that they are understaffed in critical job positions, especially air traffic.
So this doesn't have anything to do with America or Donald Trump or the FAA or the American government. Really, there's no connection whatsoever. But in a way, if you think about it, it does kind of connect to Donald Trump. And in a kind of a weird way, he caused the plane crash himself. The communist doesn't ever set aside his religion, and he most definitely never admits that he is wrong about his religion. All right, now we'll do some emails, talk about the IRS auditing Pete Hegseth. Let's talk about your chalk, though. Your male vitality stack, your female vitality stack. How good do you feel? I feel good all the time. I get emails about chalk. It's not 90 days, a month. Month and a half, 2 months. Oh, you'll feel it. When you start getting natural herbal supplements in your body, and chalk has the best natural herbal supplements I've ever seen in my life, when you start taking those and you're disciplined about it and you take them every day, your energy, your focus, it's like you're hardwired to batteries in the afternoon without needing that afternoon cup of coffee because you slammed into a wall at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock's too far away and you're not going to make it. Those days are gone for me. You want to make them gone for you? Huge discounts on subscriptions. Go get a subscription and just try it. 90 days. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Before I get to emails, I'm going to try not to lose my temper here. I'm going to do the best I can. But Dr. Deborah Birx, you do remember Dr. Deborah Birx, right? She's like, I like to consider Dr. Deborah Birx similar to the Japanese in World War II. And this is what I mean by that. I don't know anything about her affinity for the Japanese in World War II, but the Japanese in World War II committed some of the most unspeakable atrocities I've ever heard of in my life. And they waged a war of racial hatred that is responsible for the deaths of north of 20 million people. Most of them are Chinese. A genocidal, racist war of annihilation. And yet, how many people to this day, when they're talking about an evil leader, mention the name Hirohito or even Tojo? He never even gets a mention. Why? Mr. Adolf over there in Germany somehow managed to be even worse on a larger scale. And so the Japanese, they weren't as bad as one of the worst monsters in human history. So they hardly even get a mention. Deborah Birx, she has that exact same thing given to her. That exact same mercy, I should say, given to her. Who was the ultimate face of all the COVID lockdowns, all the job loss, all the suffering, all the vaccine injuries, all the everything, the social distancing? Who was the face of all that? Fauci. But Fauci had a friend. Fauci had an accomplice. She wasn't exactly hiding under a desk. She was back there doing news interviews and all kinds of things at the time. But he was so much more prominent. Fauci was the one doing, you know, promos at the Super Bowl. That was Fauci, not Birx. So now, where's Fauci? Fauci understands that he's not that popular. Oh, sure, on academic campuses, he's popular. With Democrats, he's popular. I'm sure with the dirty Europeans, he's popular. But in normal America, Fauci's not going to get very many cheers walking down the street. So Fauci stays with his cushy job at Georgetown and his $10 million pension or whatever it happens to be, and stays really mostly out of the public. But not Deborah Birx, you see, because she gets that Japanese mercy from World War II. Birx not only is still out there doing media, she's out there doing media saying things, this was her on Piers Morgan, saying things like this: I'm not going to lose my temper, and my blood pressure is not even going to go up. But here's what she's saying.
The messenger RNA vaccine should have been rolled out for the people that were at risk for severe disease, because that's what the vaccine was developed for.
Debbie, pause. I swear I'm going to start it over, and I'll try it as best I can to let her keep going. It should have been rolled out for the most vulnerable people, because that's who the vaccine was developed for. Remember what you were screaming and what I was screaming during the COVID lockdowns? That we're shutting down a $20 trillion economy. We're shutting down a country of 300 million people instead of only focusing on the sick, the elderly, the super fat, the people who were uniquely susceptible to COVID-19. It didn't exactly take somebody with 10 PhDs to quickly realize that unless you were old and infirm or mega fat, COVID was not something that posed any kind of a life-threatening danger to you. It killed like zero children. None. It just did not. Forget children. Younger people in general, 20s, 30s, 40s, you didn't see those people unless they had some sort of terrible condition, some pre-existing condition. It was a chest cold. It was a two-day chest cold. You couldn't taste food for a few days. You knew this. You were screaming this. Deborah Birx was screaming for everybody to get vaccinated and hide in their homes and not to gather with extended family. Now, in the year 2025, she feels comfortable going on the news and saying this.
The messenger RNA vaccine should have been rolled out for the people that were at risk for severe disease, because that's what the vaccine was developed for. But when we say that we're following the science and the data, we need to follow the science and the data. And the science and the data said people primarily over 65 or people with significant comorbidities were at risk for severe disease. Those are the individuals that should have been immunized first. And we should have put our science behind our immunization schedule and protected those most at risk. It went into young people in hospitals before it went into our elderly in nursing homes. That is not following the science and the data. So I am all for following the science and the data, but it shouldn't just be a statement, it should be a reality. And when we don't match what we do in public health to the science and the data, that is when we get into trouble. And that's when we start to fracture trust with the American people.
I'm not going to lose my temper. I just want to say, this is the person who caused the 8-car pileup on the highway. And as the ambulances are pulling away, This is the person looking around saying, man, people should really be more careful on the road. This was one of the main authors of all of our COVID pain. COVID pain you very well may still feel today. Did you lose your job? Did you lose your business? Maybe if you're younger, maybe you didn't get to graduate with your high school class. Who knows how it affected you, your family, your life, your livelihood. Maybe you know somebody who lost their life or was injured severely from the vax itself. There's a lot of people like that out there. And the people who did it all to us now give television interviews acting as if they were somehow just innocent bystanders at the time. If you're Deborah Birx and you have anything of a conscience left, and she probably doesn't at this point in time, textbook sociopathic behavior, I would know, I am one. But if you have any kind of a conscience whatsoever, you issue a very simple one paragraph public statement begging the American people to forgive you for the crimes against them you have committed, while also announcing in the public statement that you are resigning from whatever positions you hold, you are retiring from public life, and you intend to live out the rest of your days in quiet reflection for the horrible things you have done in the name of science and in the name of medicine and in the name of that horrible term that I never want to hear again, public health. That's what you should do. Instead, we're still having to hear from this witch.
The messenger RNA vaccine should have been rolled.
Oh, I just can't. But I can't. Oh, and she dropped this one, too.
He didn't explain that COVID vaccines were nothing like the childhood vaccines and that the childhood vaccines, like many of the diseases, you get it once, you don't get it again. And this is getting the children to have that disease without getting the deadly consequences. That is not what the COVID vaccine was designed to do. It wasn't designed to prevent against infection. And if you look at the vaccine hesitancy rates, they've doubled since COVID. So we have to start addressing these things.
Now, hold on. The COVID vaccine was not designed to prevent infection. Notice how she didn't say it didn't prevent infection. That we already know. She just said the COVID-19 vaccine was not even designed to prevent infection. But I just want to I want you to marinate on this for a couple minutes as we go into a break here. I want you to sit and think about all the mandates and all the results of all those mandates. Maybe it was job loss for you. Maybe you lost your friends. Maybe I don't know what you lost. But remember that all the mandates, all of them, they all were based on the vaccine stopping the spread. Every one of them. And so everything we did was based on an outright lie. And today, instead of hiding and apologizing, they give TV interviews. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you want to email us, you can, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will be back tomorrow for a hump day show. Just wanted to touch on this really quickly. Pete Hegseth accused the IRS of rushing his audit. Biden IRS, after Pete Hegseth's name gets floated out there as SecDef, Biden's IRS audits him. Of course, they found it. Well, you owe a bunch of money, like $30,000. This is exactly why firing federal employees en masse is taking place and exactly why it's necessary. Because in agency after agency after agency in this government, we have communist activists who see their role as being foot soldiers for the cause of the revolution. This has become so common in America, it doesn't even shock us anymore. But this kind of abuse of government power should end with people in prison and or entire agencies being deleted from existence. People who want to remain free will not tolerate this stuff and it's been going on for a long time. It got put into overdrive after Obama and during Obama. And it was, again, it was the capability of Obama that gave the Biden presidency. It paved the road for the Biden presidency to do all the evil things it did. Like I mentioned earlier about the FBI, Obama walks in, fires like 40 department heads in the FBI. Boom, gone, snaps his fingers. Bunch of salty FBI agents gone. Who's he replace them with? A bunch of Maoist academics. Why in the world could an organization like the FBI, how could it become this evil, this weaponized against the right? Barack Obama did it. He did it across the federal government. Cleaned out the bureaucracy from any smell of any dissent and put communist revolutionaries in critical positions of power. And ever since he did it, they have been assaulting the American people for every day. That's how they go to work. They go to work for the revolution. Really, really evil. One more thing before I do some headlines, maybe an email or two. This is from Campus Reform. California community colleges retreat from enforcing DEI mandates after a free speech lawsuit. Okay, so somebody sued. They're not going to, hey, no more censoring out white, or no more, keeping white people off of campus. All that stuff's great. All that stuff's good. Glad we're doing it. We need to be litigious, Chris. Anyway, I want to remind you that the Maoists who've been doing DEI across the country, the people who've been pushing this stuff, they have not changed their religion one iota. They will change the labeling. They will change their tactics. And yes, they are being hurt right now because their funding bases is eroding. But the communists who have done this, who have been doing these things, are all still among us. And many, if not most of them, are still in the exact same positions of power they were in before. Now, I'm not saying we're just treading water, we're not doing any good, so don't put words in my mouth. What I am saying is we still have to become activists. We have to remain active and vigilant. The revolutionaries are not tired. They are not going to quit. They are not going to back off from the revolution. They are going to continue on and on and on until one of us wins. Remember that. Remember that. These people are still in positions of power.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And you know that the censorship
was... Well, I have to disagree with you.
That's Margaret Brennan of CBS. That's a communist. That's a communist who just told you free speech gave us the Holocaust. That's what she said. That's how committed, stupid, and evil these people are. Oh, and one final word on this, one I didn't get to last night when I talked about it. Be careful, because this is a tactic that communists learn. They learn it early, and they will use it on you. Be careful of them trying to gain ground on you and then cut it off from argument. I want you to listen to what she does right here at the very beginning. I'll show you what I mean.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And you know that the censor...
And you know that. You hear what she did there? He was standing in a country where free speech has been used to conduct a genocide, and you know that. Anyway, we can move on past that point. I just made the point I wanted to make, and now look at me. And you know that. By dropping the "and you know that," they're trying to cut you off. They're trying to create an illusion that you then have to argue on top of. That's what they're doing. It's like me going home tonight and telling the wife that, hey, we should decide what kind of dinner. Let's go out to dinner tonight. Let's decide which place to go. I mean, look, we both know we're going to go Mexican, right? But let's decide which place we're going to go. That's exactly what they do. And they'll do that. The communists will do this to you without end. Don't ever accept the false premise of the communist. Ever, 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 ever. And don't ever settle for a subpar employee. Don't do that. Or don't resign yourself to the fact that you can't find good people. I hear it all the time, and I understand your frustration as a business owner, as a manager. I can't find good people. I know it's hard to find good people. I know. But as long as ZipRecruiter is there, good people will be there. Because ZipRecruiter, it's the one employers prefer the most. Why? Because that's where the employees are. That great employee you're looking for, he's right there on ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter, they get a good candidate the first day. It's not like you're weeks, months away. I'll try to get there. The first day, you get to try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Governor Hochul considers removing New York City Mayor. Headlines play. Oh, Chris, I bet I know what it is. Somebody, definitely wasn't me, hit this button on here that's glowing. It says loop. Hey, Chris, can I hit that button again? What? What if I just put... Hold on. I'm not going to hit it. I want to try something. What, Chris? No, hold on. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything.
I love you back.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Oh, what if we just did the Howard Dean one? Chris, I'm so excited. I had no idea this was an option. Let's let the bar eat. Heavy fire. Hey, look, this is so sweet. Chris, I wish you told me about this earlier. Ah, oh, that's amazing. No. Did you know this feature was on the soundboard? You knew it was on there and never told me? Yeah, I know it says loop. What am I supposed to know? I thought you were tying knots or something. I didn't know what that meant. Anyway, I guess we don't have time now for headlines. I'm sorry. We got a little sidetracked here. But we'll be back tomorrow to have some more fun. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.